ABC today.
And we are broadcasting live from the great state of New Hampshire, the so-called Granite State. What a show we have for you. Conversations with a lot of political-type people as we get ready for the primary. And this is the first primary, of course, for the Republicans in the race to unseat Barack Obama. Good timing for that because a new poll came out that says Americans 2-1 fear Obama's reelection. And really, in New Hampshire, all the people I've talked to, that's what they're talking about is – What's the skinny on the election? Are people going to vote for this incumbent president? Are we going to see the independents go in a different direction? And this is what we saw. And this is just, again, a little slice of a poll that happened to come out. It was perfect. I caught it today in one of the New Hampshire papers. And what they're saying is in this poll, Americans by margin, as I said, of 2-1 said Obama's reelection. Only 16% said that they fear that he won't win a second term. 33% say they fear 4 more years. Next to Obama's reelection, 31% of Americans say they fear higher taxes, which is probably part of the proof that the president's focus on the payroll tax cut hasn't really hit pay dirt, because that's what, of course, the Democrats were thinking if you wanted to analyze the poll. All right, so here's the thing. When I first went into Radio Row and had a chance, as I said, to really mix it up with a couple of people, I bumped into the former governor of Minnesota. You know, I asked him if he regretted the fact that now you look at where things are and people who have dropped out of the race, meaning Herman Cain, of course, and Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman from Minnesota. And here's what he had to say about why he dropped out and how he felt about that.
Well, Kate, I regret some of the tactical decisions we made in our campaign, in my campaign. But, look, I had a fair shot at it. We didn't get it done, and so I needed to get out of the way so the debate could go on. We ran out of money, and I didn't have the money to go forward. And so I didn't want to hang around and, A, run up a debt, and, B, you know, not continue when I knew I didn't have the fuel to go forward. But I'm honored and excited to be supporting Mitt Romney. I think, as I mentioned earlier, he's the strongest, most knowledgeable, most capable, and, importantly, most electable Republican candidate in the field.
So, again, in all of what we've seen in New Hampshire, most of the conversation is centering around who can beat Obama, who's the strongest Republican to do that. Mitt Romney seems to have the edge over everybody as far as how the people in New Hampshire are feeling. However, Ron Paul has so many supporters. In fact, in my hotel today, I talked to a few kids that were, and they were kids, you know, 17 years old, who had banners for Ron Paul. They said they were going to one of the events that he was speaking at and couldn't be more excited about it. And the other guy who has a lot of folks screaming and waving flags and posters with his name on it is John Huntsman. So John Huntsman, who is nowhere in any of the polls, suddenly has showed up, at least in New Hampshire. But the question is, what does it all mean? And let me read you a headline, because I thought this was interesting, from the Boston Herald. And the Boston Herald had a picture of Newt Gingrich on it, and it said, Newt goes nuclear. And it talked about the New Hampshire primary heating up. And in fact, I talked to somebody today who was trying to get a grasp on what would happen with voters, and they seemed to think that we might have a turnout in New Hampshire of maybe 375,000 voters, which is a pretty decent amount if you think about it for a Republican primary. Now, remember, some of them would be on the Democratic side, even though it's a done deal. And the conclusion, of course, naturally, is that it's Barack Obama, the incumbent. But that still is an official thing that will happen. Romney, Mitt Romney, who, as I said, is really the front runner, kind of under fire before this vote goes down. That's the other big storyline that's happening in New Hampshire. And Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey has been all over Manchester and Concord with him, I mean, hours before this primary vote gets underway. So this is, I'll repeat this, this is the first in the nation primary, and they start choosing candidates really starting as early as 12 a.m. in some small towns like Dixieville Notch and Hart's location. That's a polling station. The rest of the state opens at 6 a.m. and they close as late as, I've been asked some questions about this, as late as 8 o'clock Eastern. So this was the final day of campaigning. And boy, the flavor of what we're seeing, even the Democrats are crawling all over the place, I think really trying to get a sense of what's happening. The Democratic National Committee released a web video and called Romney completely out of touch, while the Texas governor, Rick Perry, kind of looped Romney's words to make a cell phone ringtone that quickly went viral. So most of the day, according to some of Romney's people, and I had a conversation with Babe Buchanan that you're going to hear, they spent most of the day trying to clear up what he meant. At one point, Romney said he expected the comment to be taken out of context to try to hurt him, and his campaign issued a statement emphasizing he was not talking about firing an insurance company. So they jumped on something that Mitt Romney had said. He was trying to recover from a stumble when he mentioned the word firing, and that just lit up switchboards all over the place. He was asked about an issue in Nashua in New Hampshire, and he said he wanted a person to be able to own his or her own policy and perhaps keep it the rest of their life. That means the insurance company will have the incentive to keep your health. It also means if you don't like what they do, you can fire them. And that's what really set, like I said, set things off. But John Huntsman, he's in the hunt, pardon the pun, so to speak, in the latest poll. Also Mitt Romney, I'll say it again, he's on top of the poll. He's got a lot of people really stumping for him. And Ron Paul has a lot of the youth support, and his son Rand Paul is making the rounds, too, in trying to rally people in the last moments. And everybody, to me, and everything that I could see, looks completely exhausted, like they've been out on the campaign trail. And remember, still in their sights is what's going to happen in South Carolina. And once New Hampshire is done, then they hit the road the very next day, bleary-eyed, getting on planes and heading out as fast as they can to get to the next battleground, because South Carolina will play a big part in, I think, what happens with the Republicans. I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you want four more years of Obama? Or, and of course, with what the Supreme Court will ultimately decide on the individual health mandate, or do you want something different? And that was the other thing that was interesting. All the political people I talked to, like Babe Buchanan, who is backing Mitt Romney, likes Mitt Romney, said she always liked Mitt Romney. She said that, listen, if it's not Mitt Romney, I'll go with whoever it is. She said anybody but Obama, because it was not hope and change that we could rely on. And what was interesting is some quick last-minute news. Obama's revolving door happened as his White House chief of staff quit. That was also big news, because to have a shakeup before an election is big when you're an incumbent president. Stay with us. We're kicking the can down the road. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are live from New Hampshire. We are broadcasting from Radio Row. It's a giant room with a lot of people in it, including Congressman Patrick McHenry from North Carolina. He's been John with a bunch of other talking heads, or I guess they're not really talking heads. Some do TV, too, and some do radio. Congressman, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks. It's mainly just my mouth that talks, not my full head.
you start doing that Sunday circuit. You start doing David Gregory and those guys. Have you
then
done any of that?
Actually gets big. Yeah. That's actually the big challenge, right?
Right.
The big fall.
Exactly. Then they worry about the makeup and all that other stuff. Okay, so you're out here and you're throwing your support. Whose way? Mitt Romney's?
Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm. Why Mitt?
Well, he's got the right vision for America. I mean, his economic plan, I mean, for prosperity for America, it contrasts so distinctly from that of President Obama's 3 years of failure. As Governor Romney says, he doesn't blame the economic downturn on this president, but he blames the fact that this president actually has done the wrong thing consistently and made things worse, not better.
Do you think he's gotten over the hump? Because he's still always, it's an albatross for him, the whole Romney care thing that every single debate is brought up, or, of course, in the headlines, people talk about it. And personally, I think he has come back and answered that and talked about the difference of being the governor of Massachusetts versus being the president of the United States and pushing through a health care agenda. Do you feel that he's addressed that pretty well?
He has. I think he has. And the way he's addressed it is that he's going to repeal Obamacare. If the states want to try out and experiment with health care reform, that's fine. I think that's what the founding fathers intended, is that our national government should do a few things and do a few things very well. And then let the states actually take care of the general welfare of the people in ways that are unique to them. And I think that is the message out of well, what I take from history and actually what the president is saying. I mean, what Barack Obama, Lord, Mitt Romney is saying, and going to take that message to Barack Obama and beat him.
Right, and you see that he's polling high, and obviously here we are on the verge of the primary. You feel pretty confident that this is certainly New Hampshire is Mitt's.
Yeah, I think Mitt Romney, you know, the real thing coming out of this whole process is that Mitt Romney didn't campaign in Iowa for 4 years. Went in the last couple of weeks and actually won the state of Iowa in their caucuses. Now coming to New Hampshire, I think he'll have a strong win here, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And then carrying it down to South Carolina. 4 years ago, Mitt Romney got 15% of the vote in South Carolina and finished fourth. So if Mitt Romney goes to South Carolina and finishes second, then he's on the way to the nomination and getting the full a full number of delegates that he needs to be the Republican nominee.
How do you knock off an incumbent president, though, especially when lately we're seeing some economic bounce back? Certainly it's being perceived that way. I think the unemployment numbers are a little skewed to me because I think it's a little higher because I believe that there are people that are underemployed, which you may even see in your own district, where people are working two and three jobs.
That's
college
right.
Educated people and blue collar wonderful people. I mean, whatever their, you know, economic background, doesn't matter. I really have seen that. I've seen that across the country when I've talked to people. But be that as it may, the headlines and everything that screams out there is, oh, we're seeing a turn. What do you think it's going to take to knock off Obama?
Look, I don't wish economic ill will on America just to be Barack Obama. I don't. But when you have 25 million Americans that are either unemployed, underemployed, or gave up looking, I think we're still in a very tough situation.
Yeah.
The stimulus didn't work. The president's jobs record is abysmal. Even if we have some nice top-line good news, it's still not enough. And Mitt Romney's vision, Mitt Romney's experience creating jobs, and Mitt Romney's disciplined campaign actually will contrast so well with this president's failure when it comes to jobs. Mitt Romney actually has a jobs plan. This president's had a failure in 3 years of being president when it came to jobs.
When you look, because I'm assuming a lot of people that voted for you, certainly Tea Party liked you, liked your strong
Absolutely.
Conservative, and I'm sure you embraced that. How did the Tea Party overall, do you feel like a lot of the people that are, I'll call them Tea Partiers, because I don't know if that's fair, because I don't really like labels, but let's just say that's one that you should embrace, certainly. Do you get any flack for that because of backing Romney and not backing Newt Gingrich or one of the other candidates?
Sure. I mean, there's pushback. And look, I mean, as conservatives, we're all over the map in this primary. But Newt hasn't shown a disciplined campaign. And unfortunately, I was just so disheartened when I found out that Newt had taken a lot of money from Freddie Mac. Fannie and Freddie are two institutions I was trying to cut off from the taxpayers so we wouldn't have the bail them out, to get rid of them. I mean, absolutely, that's what I've been working on since I got elected to Congress. And for him to be at the trough, to me, was so disheartening because I've always respected Newt. I've always liked Newt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a great intellectual leader of the conservative movement. But the difference here, it's not a choice between this field and Ronald Reagan. No, we have the field and we have the choices that we have now. Mitt Romney's had the best message when it comes to jobs. That's the key issue. He has a plan for jobs. That's the key issue. And he's run a great campaign. So let's get on board. Let's get this nominating process over so we can actually beat Barack Obama. And Mitt Romney's the only one who's shown in these debates, who's shown consistently over the last months of debate.
Mm-hmm.
Debates. I mean, we've had over
16, 17 now,
right.
Yeah.
It's an insane number of debates.
Yeah.
And he has shown himself to be so consistent, so good, and he's a much better candidate than he was 4 years ago.
So
I think people are coming around to that.
Do you think Mitt can grab some of those independents? Because I think the independents, while they may traditionally, people would say, well, the majority of independents would swing Democratic. That's not true. And if you look at some of the polls lately, they're showing that if you, quotes, are an independent, you could really go to either side of the pendulum. Do you think Mitt has – what does Mitt need to do to grab the independents, to get them to think his way?
Well, look, part of it's style. I mean, look, he is not offensive to anyone. I mean, he's a very reasonable-sounding guy. But independents want to see that you're going to do something that actually benefits America and not just to be about partisan warfare. And I think with Mitt Romney's experience with jobs, job creation, his experience as governor, his experience talking to folks that are really on the other side of the aisle from me as a conservative, actually gives him a great opportunity to pick up independents and moderates in the general election.
Yeah. I want to bounce back to something that you said you got me very excited about. I hate Fannie and Freddie on my show. And we have a thing every night where we talk about that, and people call up and find out, you know, that in fact there was the march up to Congress, which, you know, to get more money, to get bonuses, and then the cry is, well, this is how we fix it because we can't keep the best and the brightest. I think that's hogwash. What do you think?
I completely agree. And what I've tried to do in my service in Congress is to cut them off from taxpayer support, to cut them off from this abstract creation that has their tentacles deeply embedded in the lobbying process in Washington. And they're making, you got their executives who are basically government employees now. They're making millions. At a time when Barack Obama's out there hammering private sector pay from private institutions that the taxpayers are not supporting and beating them up for their pay package, he won't even take on government employees' pay packages. It is absolutely absurd, and American people should be furious with this because we're losing money hand over fist.
I agree.
And we're never going to get paid back for Fannie and Freddie's failures.
Right.
So we got to cut them off. Yeah. We got to cut them off and get this thing freed up so that we can actually have housing prices rise again and actually have job creation out of this.
Yeah.
Not just simply prop it up failure. That's what's so frustrating to me.
Right.
We should have cut off these companies and said, look, you failed, you failed.
Right.
Rather than trying to bail them out and prop them up.
Right. One last question. What's the best thing about being, I'll call you new to Congress, being, you know, being the rookie? What's the coolest thing about being a congressman? Besides, obviously, I can see your passion. You're representing your people, and we're on board on the same issue. But what's the best thing about this gig?
Meeting people. I mean, you have to like people if you want to be in this position, and it's a great opportunity to meet a whole variety of people from across the country and all walks of life. The coolest thing for me in my district is to visit a small business or a nonprofit and actually see what they do. But the small rewards in this job, the small rewards are getting something done for an individual, somebody who, needs a little help and actually just make it happen.
Yeah.
It's really a rewarding feeling.
Well said. It was a pleasure meeting you, Congressman McHenry.
Thanks so much, Dave. Take care.
Good luck. Thanks.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extra.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
All right, so we're hanging out here in the Radisson, and John Christopher, I want to say Bua.
Yeah, you can say whatever.
Booyah.
You, well, you Bua. Can say whatever you want.
Say your last name for us.
Bua.
Bua, that's easy. It's like
or,
Buick.
Or Jean-Christophe.
Jean-Christophe.
As the
and
French
he was,
say.
He's with Sky, but that doesn't tell you anything.
Sky
he's
a, News.
He's Sky News, which is huge. But
90 million subscribers
yeah,
worldwide,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, I need to get on Sky News. He's a White House.
Get you on,
he's
on.
A White House commentator and political analyst, and he's got deep ties to politics in general all over the place.
That should be tied up, actually.
He after, should be
after
tied
this
up.
Career,
John Christopher, big news today. White House Chief of Staff Bill Daley out
bye
of
bye.
There. What
bye
happened?
Bye. President's coming on, going to announce it. Jack Lew is in, Jacob Lew from the Office of Management and Budget, a very good fiscal guy. I know Jack for many, many years when I was part of the Clinton administration. Interesting choice. You know, one would think he would get a whipcracker, you know, like a Harold Ickes,
right.
You know, to really kind of stir things up. He's got a campaign, although the campaign's being run by Messina and you know, out of Chicago. The fact is that it's a very, very conscious choice. And I, even in my sagacity, even in my knowledge, even in my daily White House briefing knowledge, it's kind of a peculiar choice because Jack is a very sweet guy. He's a, you know, easy-tempered guy, even-keel guy.
Right.
And I would think they would want a lion tamer in there to kind of crack the whip. But
It probably has to do with the fiscal stuff. It probably has to do with the budgetary stuff, obviously. And Jack has got a good relationship with the Hill. So I think that's probably where he's going.
So
but the president will say.
Is political maneuvering really when
no,
the...
No, no. What do you think? We're in New Hampshire.
Everything's political.
Everything.
Listen, you've been in the game, like I said, you've been in the game for a while. You've seen all angles of this thing. Yeah. And I always say, it's about another term. It's about another term.
Of
it's
course.
About another term.
The minute you're there, you're campaigning.
Right.
And then you've got, you want to go for the second term.
Yeah.
So because you can't get anything done the first term.
Right.
Because no one does. And that's, you know, and then you try to do it the second term. The fact is that this president is angling to get another term. And Mitch McConnell, you know, wants him out.
Right.
Their whole point is to get him out and he wants to stay in. That's politics. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, that's okay.
But don't you think there's a gridlock, though, in Congress? I mean, come
no.
on.
No, of course there is.
Well,
it's
why,
terrible.
Well, how do you break the gridlock?
Well,
no labels? There's a group called No Labels?
Yeah,
there's
I know, and they're sick and disgusted, and you've got the Occupy folks, and you've got the Tea Party folks who are basically saying the same thing. We're not being represented. They've come from a different, you know, philosophical bent, but they're still saying the same thing. They're saying, we're not being represented. And now you have these super PACs who are just making campaigning, basically retail campaigning, no longer important. You know, what happened to Newt Gingrich from the American Future of that group, I don't have it in front of me.
Right.
Millions of dollars. And Newt was for the Supreme Court decision on the Citizens United. Opening the whole concept of PACs, and then it bit him
right.
in the you-know-what.
Right.
Took a nice bite, plenty to bite, and he really was angry about that. He got basically eviscerated in Iowa, and I was glad to see him take the gloves off yesterday on Meet the Press.
Yeah. When you, as you watch this whole thing unfold, you cover the White House day-to-day. What's that like? You guys are like a pack of jackals.
Well, we try to be. I mean, I think of myself as more like a hyena, if you want to know, in terms of who gets the carrion. You know, I'm just a foreign correspondent. You know, You know, I'm part of the press corps. I'm honored to be part of the White House press corps. I'm honored to represent Sky News there. You know, quite a number of days a week, and I'm happy to get my questions in.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
How do you get, because there's a big thing, and people call my show and ask about all the time, the people that are covering the president nationally, they just don't ask the right questions. They're not just asking the right questions.
Well, I am there. I'm honored to be there when the president has his news conferences, but I'm there almost daily for the daily briefing, which
right.
Jay Carney ran,
right.
runs and Robert Gibbs ran before. You know, the questions are asked because the editors want to see some breaking news. Okay, they want to see whoever it is, the press person, kind of squirm and admit that he doesn't know something or that his relationship with the president is not a good one. I'm not saying not this group. I mean, you go back to Pierre Salinger, who the president told, basically Jack Kennedy told in very salty terms, when I tell you this, I want you to blank, blank, blank. And it was about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
And he said, get home now and tell him that you're sick or
yeah.
something to that effect.
Were you around for that? You're young. You're a pup.
I wasn't at the White House for that, but I was on this earth for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lot younger than I look anyway. But, you know, the question is, how close is the president with his chief spokesperson?
Right.
And they will try to dig under and see, is this guy really for real? Does he really have that kind of access? And I think Jay Carney is doing, a pretty darn good job. It is tough being up there.
One thing, and I've talked to other correspondents about this, their critique of the Obama White House was, just like everybody else coming in, they said, we're going to be so transparent. But as somebody who covers the White House, really, are they that transparent?
Well, I think Jay, who was on the other side, where
yeah.
I sit,
yeah.
he was a Time Magazine bureau chief
yeah.
In Washington. He also was the bureau chief in Moscow. He knows what it's like to be pressured by your bosses to say, get a question in, and he's respectful of that. And I'm honored that he calls on me, and I try to ask questions that would make news, but I also try to ask questions that he's interested in answering.
Right.
And then if a press secretary knows that you're going to ask something that is not just the same old, you know, picky, third type thing, then he'll call on you. Plus, I have a different bent. Mine is international. I cover international finance and national security issues and the relationship between the U.S., the U.K., and the Europeans. You know, Kate, we live in a global borderless economy now.
Right.
And we're all in the same boat.
Right, I agree.
And what happens in America, believe me, is affected. It affects Greece. What happens in Greece affects us. So we're all having to work together on this. So that's why being an international guy, although I don't sound like a Brit, I'm a Yank. It's exciting and it's fun and it does get Sky News some good answers and good coverage
right.
for the questions and the stories that they're covering on a daily basis. And
right.
they were the first show network to really get into Libya.
Right.
And it was amazing that the State Department was following Sky, and we were very honored about that.
In covering this, just handicap it for us. You know, we're here in New Hampshire. Do you think it's just a done deal, Romney, and then Santorum second?
Well, as I wrote in my last blog on the Washington Notebook, the fight for the soul of the Republican Party, thanks for letting me get that plug in, the fact is, it's the second guy who's the one. Who comes in second is the one to watch, because we have South Carolina next.
Right.
And if it's either Santorum or...
Ron Paul?
That's not exactly where I'm going. Or Perry.
Perry.
You're going to see the evangelical folks putting a ton of money into promoting them for the race. Ron Paul is kind of like the wild card, but he holds enormous sway. I mean, you just walk outside, the Ron Paul guys.
Oh, I know.
You should see who picks up on my blog. Ron Paul, one after the other.
Right.
They are passionate, they are driven,
right.
and they love this guy, and to their credit. And Ron Paul, if he shows a decent outcome, he's going to have a major part of the platform in Tampa at the RNC.
But why do people say he's just not electable? Because the Republican Party, they shoo him away.
A good friend of mine, a famous senator, whose name I won't mention, and I, we had dinner one night, and we both were talking about Ron Paul. And he said, you know, John, you're right. I agree with the guy 50% of the time. And the other time, you know, you think he's a crackpot.
Right.
But, you know, that 50% of the time, people are very passionate about what he says. And it makes sense. He is making sense to a lot of folks.
Right.
And these other guys, they're not getting anybody terribly excited.
Right.
You know, Mitt Romney is you know, okay, well, if we have to take him, we'll take him. But that's not how to win an election. You've got to be in love to be in line. And I think that's what happened.
In love to be in line. I like that.
Yeah.
John, what a great... little saying I'm going to steal from you.
But
it really, in the overall scheme nationally, do you give any of these Republicans a chance to knock off the incumbent Obama? You cover the White House daily. You're in the thick of it in D.C. You're seeing it.
I think if this president gets some better numbers, which he's starting to, the unemployment numbers are starting to tick down. You know, it people are still out of work. If this president, you know, gets fired up and is passionate and says where he wants to lead this country in the 21st century. I'm not saying you should write this down, guys. I'm not promoting the president, but I can say if and I'll tell Romney what I think he should do. If this president and this administration and this campaign really wants to define this election, and the numbers look better,
mm-hmm.
and people start feeling even the idea that things are turning around a little bit. I'm not
right.
saying happy days are here again,
right.
but a little more of that. Obama will win.
Yeah.
I think if there's some major issues and the economy starts to crash, and Mitt Romney shows strength and he doesn't, you know, screw up like he says today, he fires people, which was, he got that one out. And if they can get him and keep him out, you know, he's getting better. His debates are getting stronger. But it's all about personality. Hey, you know what it is? I always could pick a president since I was like, I talked about Kennedy. I was a
right.
little kid.
Right.
I said, that guy's going to win because that guy you want to see in your living room every night. Not
so
that guy.
It's perception.
It sure is. And it's perception. It's a sense of trust. It's a sense of I don't believe a word they're saying. And it's a sense of comfort. And it's a sense of excitement and passion about the country. And I think every one of the Republicans offers a bit of that.
Right.
But there's not one of them that offers all of it.
Right, and everybody wants the whole enchilada, really. That's what you have to have.
It's a pact. We elect stars in this country.
Yeah.
My British colleagues, it's a parliamentary system, and it's a party system. You elect the party, and you get who's the head of the party.
Right.
Here, you elect, I mean, what's the
rock
difference?
Rock stars.
You elect rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it's Hollywood. I mean, this is what we do here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's, it boggles the minds of our European allies and colleagues.
It does. John, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Will you
Anytime.
Stop by again?
Anytime.
We need to talk. We need to talk again.
We're wonderful.
You were terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95, so get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Radio Row once again in New Hampshire, and I'm here with the lovely, we've seen her on the show, Carrie Pickett from the Washington Times. We've had her on the show before, in fact, and she was wonderful. And Carrie, you and I were talking actually aside before we jumped on, and you said that this is it. This is like our Super Bowl, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is the best part of the job because it gets you away from Washington. It gets you out from your desk, and you can see the rest of the country. You get to talk to the voters. And on top of that, you really get to see the candidates in front of the people who are going to decide their fate in the end.
What have you seen so far in New Hampshire that you thought was interesting so far as we seg closer to the primary?
Well, what I think is the most interesting right now is seeing the comparisons between the Huntsman surge as well as the Santorum surge out in Iowa. Because for a while, people thought, oh, my goodness, Huntsman spent so much time out here in New Hampshire. Is it really going to pay off? But it looks like he's coming around the bend right now, and he could be getting at least a third-place finish.
Yeah, third place to him keeps it alive, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and or maybe even second place for that matter, because Ron Paul, of course, is probably his biggest threat. But, you know, there are a lot of, you know, independents out there who are likely Democrats to begin with, who are looking at Huntsman as an alternative to Romney.
Wow. So the people that you've talked to and watching the switch with Les, you mentioned that I noticed there's a lot of Huntsman people and there was a lot of banners all over the place. New Hampshire is a pretty interesting place, and you just came from Iowa. Can you see the shift and the difference between the people, the potential voters here versus the voters that were in the Iowa caucuses?
Well, certainly, because first of all, I kept on telling people that the Iowa caucus voters are going to be around 64 years old, average age. I mean, those are people who are committed voters who are going to go to those Iowa caucuses, not necessarily the younger voters, which is why Ron Paul did not get that first or second place finish. He got that third place finish. Whereas over here in New Hampshire, you're going to see a lot more younger voters heading off to the polls. People don't have to make speeches. You're not going to be seeing representatives of the campaigns making speeches right before people vote or announce their votes. Generally, people just go behind a curtain, hit a button, and they leave. Very easy. And there is no process,
right,
so to speak. That is the biggest difference as far as primaries and caucuses.
Right. Who do you think will lose? Who do you think will eventually trail out after New Hampshire? Will anyone bail out? Will Rick? You know, Rick Perry will beat him for South Carolina. But do you think we'll start to see more candidates separate out?
Not necessarily. I think someone like Santorum, he is just chomping at the bit, and that is a quote from his spokesman Hogan Gidley, to just head on down to South Carolina. They really believe that Mitt Romney may not necessarily do as well as the polls are actually saying. Remember, Romney got fourth place last time in 2008. They think that he may not necessarily do as well as the polls are actually saying.
Wow. You know, and looking at Ron Paul has this youth movement behind him. What do you attribute to that as you've been reporting on this campaign?
Well, Newt Gingrich, first of all, thinks that this youth movement has to do with the legalization of marijuana. I don't know about that. But I think that a whole lot of it has to do with the fact that very often, anytime college kids kind of get together and they say, hey, this guy's pretty cool, this whole fad movement goes along, you're going to have lots of kids sort of follow each other. But in the same light, what I find interesting about Ron Paul, though, is that even though he is taken seriously by a lot of younger voters, people don't look at him as a nominee for the general electorate, because they see him almost hitting the skids by the time he hits South Carolina, if not Florida.
Yeah. Because you've talked to a lot of people, in your estimation, is it jobs, the economy that we keep talking about is the biggest thing that people are concerned about? You think it's flat out, in a way, the number one issue?
Absolutely. And that's just it, is that even though he can talk about the economy, he's very good with numbers. I think one of the things that Santorum particularly said in the last debate is he is someone who maybe on the first day that he comes to office, he will end up doing things that we can never undo later on, and that's going to be a very big problem for Republicans to actually end up supporting him to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with you. The in looking at the Granite State and looking at this thing is always the first primary, and I said, even though we're just talking about the Republicans, we don't have the Democrats this time around, it's not 2008, does it feel like somebody said to me that it seemed like there wasn't as much buzz in the air, but I don't think that. I think they're just not looking in the right places. What do you think from a reporter's perspective who's kind of been trolling the area for a while now?
You know what? This is certainly, like 2008, there's certainly no oh my goodness, there's this amazing candidate coming on down who's a bright and shiny. And therein lies the biggest difference. I think that is probably the biggest deficit for Obama, is that he doesn't have that shine to him anymore. And unfortunately for the Republicans, whoever comes out of the primary won't have that shine to him either. So, you know, unfortunately, we are at a point in the economy that it's much worse coming out of the primaries than it was back in 2008 coming out of the primaries.
Yeah. What about some of the other issues like energy, for example? That seems that's a big issue for Americans when it's but it's been pushed down sort of this election year, and maybe because it's what we just talked about, that the focus is so much on jobs and how people are doing.
Well, of course, we're coming into the in the middle of the winter season. Now we're going to see the gas prices go through the roof, and people are actually going to be very concerned about their heating as well. That was a big issue during the debates, and unfortunately, the candidates are going to be in a big fight with the administration over how we should be heating our homes. Of course, you have Republicans who are going to be talking about oil drilling, and you're going to have the Obama administration talking about wind, solar, and other alternative energies. How is that going to create jobs?
Yeah.
Well, that is one of those things that is going to be a big question. As far as I look at it, as far as our opinion page looks at it, we actually do believe that oil drilling is a huge priority.
I agree with you, absolutely. I think that's part of the problem is this, the jobs that are being left out there, and certainly there's regulations and guidelines already in place anyway that can be followed. And then you see the situation with Iran and the Strait and Hormuz, and the Strait of Hormuz, what's going to happen there. And if somebody doesn't look in the mirror and address this soon, then we're going to just be talking about the same thing 20 years down the road from now.
Absolutely. And what's happening over at the Strait of Hormuz, we're seeing how Iran, the more they end up threatening the United States, and the more the administration ends up appeasing them, you're going to have the oil prices be hugely affected by that. And at this point, people have to wonder where exactly the administration is going to start getting serious with that country.
Yeah, no kidding. In looking at the candidates, and this, of course, hasn't even been talked about that much now because you don't have not one person has emerged. But who do you think looks good as the VP, if you were spitballing with me? Who might be some potential VPs?
Well, of course, it all depends who comes out of there, but names that have been floated around, and of course all these people have said no, but people like the name Rubio, people like the name Jindal, and of course people also like the name Christie. Names that have been floated as well around, people like the name DeMint. Of course, these names have all been floated around before by consultants and by commentators. All of these guys have all said, no, I'm not interested, and this isn't what I'm going to be doing, and so on and so forth. But, who knows? Maybe it's someone who's already on the campaign trail who apparently won't come out of the primary.
Carrie, in looking at, so in talking about the undercard and talking about the date, do you think that how much of a, in watching this, because now we've got Republican goggles on watching everything that's happening, the Democrats are saying, oh, they're watching, you know, on the sidelines, but he's the incumbent, etc. How much of a chance do you give from afar, whoever emerges, the Republican candidate, to make some noise against Obama and perhaps beat him?
At this point, I think the Republican candidate has an amazing chance, because the only thing, I mean, I don't like to put numbers on it. I know that very often people think, oh, my goodness, whoever comes out is going to be just squashed by Obama. But now Obama has a record. And that was something he didn't have back in 2008. And the only thing Obama can do is simply stand back and say, well, I can't be any worse than the guy who's running against me. Well, you have a record now, Mr. Obama. And people can actually look at the record, and he can say, well, I have 8.5% unemployment, and it's going down. Well, thanks to our Labor Department, they now have these funny unemployment numbers, which don't even report the people who aren't getting unemployment checks anymore.
Right.
So we all know what the numbers are likely more like as far as the unemployment is a concern. And people know that they're unemployed. And if Mr. Obama is saying that the unemployment is going down and people don't have jobs, they know that the president is just giving them a line.
Yeah, I agree. South Carolina is next, and then you're going all the way through this campaign. We've mentioned that now a couple of different times. So what do? Do you just send the rent check home and you just keep that roller bag going? I mean, you're traveling the whole time.
Yeah, you know what? I've been traveling to a lot of cold states. I'd like to get some warm weather. I think I deserve it.
I agree with you. Carrie Pickett, always a pleasure to talk to you. Washington Times, we'll look for your stuff as always. Thanks again for coming on America Tonight.
Sure thing.